Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Book of Nehemiah, and we're dealing with the topic of discouragement this morning. So to all my pastor's friends out there, this message is for you. For you, if you're here this morning and you've had this one of those weeks where you had a day or two where you were just like in the dumps and you thought Eeyore moved in with you and took up your personality, then this message is for you as well. Because all of us experienced and have faced discouragement, things that happened, things that you wished that happened that didn't happen, circumstances that unfolded before you. And then there are those times, right, where everything around you, the day is going great. I mean, life is good for you. And you woke up or you walked through your day and you just kind of felt blue. Right? You're just like, I look around, my family's healthy, there's more money than month this time around, and the car's running, the dog's not barking, it's good, but I just feel like, ugh. Even for those who have done great things for the Lord, those who have done great things in life, they've known discouragement. History has demonstrated that most notable winners have gone through times and have usually encountered heartbreaking obstacles before they triumphed. They won because they refused to be discouraged by their defeat. Alexander Graham Bell, who invented the telephone, would he be amazed at what the telephone is now today, right? But in 1876, he invented the phone, and his phone, after his invention, it didn't ring off the hook with people saying, hey, I want to invest in this thing. This is going to change the course of human communication. In fact, President Rutherford Hayes said to Bell that this is an amazing invention, but who would ever want to use one of them? In the 1940s, Chester Charlton took his invention to 20 corporations, and all of them turned him down. After 7 years of being turned down, he took his idea to the Halloid Company, who purchased the rights for the electrostatic copier. And later, they changed their name to Xerox and made a fortune. And there's other stories that we could reference of those who have overcome discouragement. There's stories in this room this morning of living before us, of overcoming discouragement. And when you come to Nehemiah chapter 4, faced with a very discouraging situation before him, only Nehemiah, he was in the process of doing something great for God, something that God had asked him to do. It was something that God had laid on his heart, something that God had provided, something that needed to be done. And Nehemiah learned something that all of us will learn at some point in our life if we haven't. And if we've learned it, we're going to be reminded of it, that we are privileged to learn this throughout life and to go through it, that just because God has spoken to you to do something, just because God has spoken to you to become something, he's directed you in a specific way, does not mean that everything will just fall into place and it will be a smooth ride all the way through. It doesn't even mean that there won't be times in your life that you won't battle a little discouragement for no reason. My guess is that many of us this past week experienced it. If you're here this morning and you find yourself dealing with discouragement, the resurrected Jesus that we celebrated last week is the same Jesus that walks with us through those seasons of discouragement. And perhaps as you're dealing with this discouragement, could it be that God has something extraordinary for you, something wonderful just around the corner? And that God is doing something. God is going to use you to accomplish something wonderful in your own life, in the life of your family, in the life closest to you, to your friends, to the church, whatever, to our community. So as we look at Nehemiah and his situation, I want you to notice the causes and the cure for the discouragement. Let's talk about the causes of the discouragement that Nehemiah faced, because all of us face these exact same causes. I mean, I think as we look at this portion of Scripture this morning, you're going to find yourself stepping right into it and saying, oh, yeah, I've been there. Oh, yeah, I'm there right now. Oh, yeah, I'll probably be there soon. But look at it, the causes of discouragement. Right away, as you start reading through chapter 4, you see a cause of discouragement. It's out of fatigue. As you start reading Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, you notice fatigue is setting in to these workers. Fatigue is, it can cause discouragement. If you're a person who never stops, who never finds time to rest, you're going to find yourself battling discouragement because you can't burn it on both ends of the stick, can you? Eventually, you're going to burn out. And that's exactly what Nehemiah sees happening before his very eyes in chapter 4. The task was incredible. The environment was hostile. They built this thing. They rebuilt this wall in 52 days. So you know that they were working at an incredible pace. And scholars look at it. Engineers look at it and they say, man, how in the world were they able to accomplish this task in such a short amount of time? I mean, you know that they labored. And here's the thing. They were able to do that, and it was volunteers who did it. It wasn't a paid construction crew that was building or rebuilding this thing. It was the people of the community rebuilding it. In order to accomplish that task in 52 days, they had to work very, very hard, and no doubt fatigue would be setting in. So look at it, verse 10. The workers are getting tired, Nehemiah says. The fact of the matter is, as we said, you can't burn it on both ends and expect to be okay. Several weeks ago, I had a conversation with our staff about the upcoming calendar. We were in staff meeting, and I said, all right, guys, you just need to understand. We have Kids Bash coming up, then the events of Easter week coming up, LeaderCast is coming up, the district council is coming up, and several other little things that are in the mix of all of this, plus your wives are pregnant. And there's going to be an interruption. And it's going to be a big interruption for you, Michael, because you've never been down to this rodeo before. Nathaniel's like, it's all good. We've been here before. But here's the deal. It's important, I was talking with him, it's important for you that you pace yourself and you protect yourself. Robin and I, we do our best to guard our Saturdays and just kind of rest and do things that fill our tank and just find places, you know, take the morning and just not do a whole lot. And are we always able to protect that time? No, not always, but we try to fight for that time. It reminds me of a joke that I heard. This lady kept trying to get a hold of her pastor on his Sabbath day. She would call and he would say, no, I'm not available. I can't do that. Or she would try to set up a meeting with him on that day. And he's like, no, I can't meet with you on that day. And so she was getting a little bit upset with his response and his non-committal to him. And she said, so finally she thought, you know what? I'm just gonna put it out there. Pastor, I want you to know that the devil doesn't take a day off. Maybe you shouldn't either. And the pastor wisely looked at this lady and responded to her, you are right. And if I didn't, I would be just like him. And that's not the kind of pastor that you would want, right? Instead of burning out, make sure that you divert daily, that you withdraw weekly, that you abandon annually, that you step away just from the routine and unplug, some of you are struggling with discouragement and you're not taking the rest to renew yourself. The result is that you're easily discouraged, you're easily worn out. And how many know when you're tired, everything becomes bigger? Isn't that true? I mean, you get worn down, and all of a sudden, the cup of milk that just got spilled is like a national crisis. And it's just like, wait a minute, whoa, just breathe. It's okay. It's all right. Remember, as a kid in your room at night, after a long day, you're tired, you're worn out, and the shadows would come into your room, and you'd get a little bit scared, you'd get freaked out. Everything seems a little bit bigger, a little bit more ominous when you're worn out. And if you're going to stand strong and deal with the forces around you that cause discouragement, please, may we rest and replenish ourselves. Let's look at the next source of discouragement. It's out of focus. They lost their focus. Verse 10, the people of Judah begin to complain. The workers are getting tired, and there is so much rubble to be moved. What was the job that they were supposed to be doing? Just building the wall, right? That was the task. At this point, right? Just think about this. At this point where of this portion of this book, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, they were supposed to be rebuilding a wall, and at this point, they had gotten the wall halfway up. We know that because in verse 6, it says, at last, the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city. And look at this, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. I mean, there's excitement. They're seeing this thing rise and rebuild and come into shape and come up, rise up from the rubble. And all of a sudden, four verses later, they've lost sight of that. They don't do that. Look what they do. The workers are getting tired, and there is so much rubble to be moved. We'll never be able to build the wall by ourselves. If you're going to have victory over discouragement, you have to keep your eye on the goal. Why? Because this is why. Because vision leaks. You have to keep the goal before you. If you aren't careful, you can get your eye off the prize, you can get the eye off the calling that God has placed upon your life or in your heart, and there can be a lot of rubble, and there can be a lot of scoffers and a lot of distraction that want to bring sideways energy to you. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. And when you get your eyes off the prize, you get discouraged. And if you aren't careful, you begin to settle. And vision leaks. And all of a sudden, you move away from what God had spoken to your heart. Let me just throw out some examples. There's individuals, folks that are single. And there's been a time in their life where they said, you know what? I want to find a companion, but I want my companion to be a godly individual. I want them to love Jesus. I want them to passionately pursue Jesus, to be example to me and to our kids someday, if we have kids, to that God would be first and foremost in their life. And that's that's at the core of their being. That's what they're longing for. And all of a sudden, they're longing, they're praying, they're believing, and a year passes, and another year passes, and then all of a sudden, they're 5 years, 10 years into waiting. And they look around, and people tell them, hey, look, there's no one like that around here. There's no one that fits that mold that would be available to you. And so what do people do? They let that vision leak and they settle for things that are less than what God would have for them. People do it with finances, right? Oh, I'm going to get out of debt. And they're working towards that, but then something breaks down. Life happens. And so they just settle because vision leaks. They get frustrated. And on we could give demonstrations or examples. If you're going to stand against discouragement, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eye on the vision. Listen, Thomas Edison, when he invented the light bulb, he tried 2,000 different ways to make it work. And finally it did, right? And some reporter came and asked him about all the times, what it felt like to fail as many times as Edison did. To which Edison replied, "I never failed once. I invented the light bulb. It just happened to take 2,000. It just happened to be a 2,000 step process." That's keeping your eye. That's perspective. That's vision. That is a guy who kept his eye on the prize and knew where he was going. Don't get caught up in the rubble around you. Keep your eye on the task because you're seeing it rise. Because when you get your eyes off the task, what happens? You get discouraged. Those with Nehemiah lost sight of what they were doing, even though they were halfway through. Think about that. Even though the fact that they had, how they even started was an absolute miracle. The king giving Nehemiah permission, the king writing the check to make this thing happen. It was an absolute miracle, but they lost their focus. And for those of you that have young kids running around the house and all you do is follow and you pick stuff up and you wash their face and you comb their hair only to do it again and do it again and change their clothes again and you think, this is my life. Remember what you're building. You are building something so incredibly awesome. Something so worth your time. Nehemiah Verse 10, chapter 4, leads us to our second thought, or our third cause of discouragement is feelings of failure. The workers are getting tired, and there is so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. There's a statement that says, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. Either way, you're right. Pride. You've heard me say my dad didn't have a lot of proverbs, but he always, one proverb Bob would always throw out to me. I'd say, "Dad, I can't mow the yard. It's too big. It's too hot. Dad, I can't do this," or "Dad, I can't do that." And my dad would always look at me and he would say, "Can't never did anything." Usually what happens is we get in a situation. We get a bit overwhelmed by that situation. We have unmet expectations, and we begin to feel like Peter, who is at one point walking on the water and the next point sinking within that water, feeling discouraged. When a person feels like a failure, discouragement sets in, leads us to another cause of discouragement, and that is fear. Verse 11, "Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work." Now they're afraid. And as they think of all the things that could go wrong, they are playing all of the what-ifs out in their mind. Instead of looking at the wall and saying, "Man, it's halfway up. Man, we've done this." They built the whole thing and rebuilt it in 52 days. So it's halfway up now. They're 25 and a half days into this project. And instead of looking at that, now they're playing the what-ifs out. Oh man, they could swoop down and they could climb over it because it's not all the way up. And the problem gets larger and larger, and God and what God has been working in their life is growing smaller and smaller, and fear begins to rule them. And here they are, and they're afraid, and they have forgotten that God is the one who called them to rebuild this thing. And this week, as I was studying and as preparing and as I was praying through this message on Thursday and again this morning, I just really felt in my heart to speak to someone and to speak something to this effect over someone here that feels like giving up. Don't forget where God has brought you from, what God has done in your life, and what God wants to do in your life. Don't get discouraged at your current situation and what you see around you. Keep your eyes on what God has placed within you, that dream that He's placed within you, the things that He's done in the past in your life. May they be reminders. May they be stepping stones. May they be strength to give you the fortitude and the resolve to keep stacking the stones. Don't quit. Forgotten that God is the one who changed the king's heart, provided the resources to do the project. In that moment of fear, they had forgotten all of that. And all they see is the enemy. All they see is what is left to build. And they become motivated by their fear, and they become discouraged. The last cause of discouragement is friendship. And this is bad or unhealthy friendship. Look at it, verse 12. The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions and to attack us. Don't you just love people like that? Right? These are the what I would call the I can't friends. Sorry, I can't be your friend. I don't want to be your friend. Evaluate your friends and see what your friendships are telling you. If they aren't helping you to do the work that God has called you to do, to be the person God has called you and desires for you to be, then maybe they're not the friends that you ought to run with. Why are these folks hanging out with Sanballat and Tobiah? Watch the friendships that we build, that you build. What you see in people around you will help. We all know this. What you see in people around you will ultimately rub off on you. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 tells us this. Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people. Verse 25, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. We become like those we hang around. You become like them, good or bad. We need to be around people who are going to make you better, right? Your close personal relationships should be with those who look at you and cause you to look at the Lord, and they sharpen you and they speak life into you and they challenge you and they build you up and not tear you down. Nehemiah verse 12, chapter 4, at that time the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. Isn't it amazing that people with bad news always want to remind you of the bad news? They tell them 10 times over, they're going to attack us. I think I would, you know, at that point, it's like, all right, thank you. I heard you the first time. I don't need to hear you the second time. Now it's the fifth time and I'm ready to go ninja on you. Right? When we hang around the wrong people, we'll get discouraged. We need to hang around people who are going to build us up in the faith, who are going to speak life into us, who are going to speak truth to us, who are going to challenge us to be more tomorrow than what we could be today. And sometimes those people, they come to us and they speak, and sometimes what they speak to us is maybe a hard pill to swallow, but we talked about that last time, a couple weeks ago, that when we hear messages like that, we need to step back and evaluate it and see, is there truth in that? And if there's truth, then we need to respond accordingly. But those are five things that bring discouragement that we see played out in chapter 4. It's kind of discouraging, and it makes you ask, man, is there a remedy to this? So let me give you four thoughts from chapter 4. How do you handle discouragement? How do you deal with those times when you are discouraged? Because the reality is, as you and I, as human beings, we're going to be discouraged. Rarely does God provide deliverance experience during times of discouragement that is just like crazy supernatural. I mean, some, you look at the amount of bills on your table. There's been very few people that I know that went out to the mailbox, and when they looked at they're going through their bills, they went out to the mailbox and they found a check for like multiple whatever amount of dollar that covered all of that. It's nice when it does, and if it does happen, I'll sign up for that. But very rarely have I heard such a testimony. Very rarely does God part the Red Sea and let the army of Israel pass through. Usually it's through the pressures of discouragement that God walks through us, develops us through those times, develops his character within us, takes out the flaws that are within you and I, and molds us and makes us into his image that he wants us to be. It'd be easier if God would just touch us and boom, be done with it. But God typically works in us and through us as he did with Moses and Elijah and Paul and Nehemiah. See, you are part of the solution. So how do you break out? First one is this: review the situation. Look at the situation you find yourself in. Review your goals, review your motives, review the direction. That's exactly what Nehemiah did. Verse 13, so I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families armed with swords, spears, and bows. Nehemiah heard about the discouragement. He knew the task that was before them. He sees the folks, they're tired. He has heard the 10-count talk of doom that's been going around from the outsiders. He looked at their situation, he evaluates it, he assesses the needs of it, and then he went on from there. And when you're struggling and when you're discouraged, it would be wise of us to step back and analyze, see where we're at, then ask yourself some questions. When did these feelings start? What's the cause of these feelings? Are these feelings legitimate, or are they just because I'm tired and I'm worn out? What makes me feel this way? What can you do to remedy the situation? What are some of the simple things that can do to help the situation? So you step back, you do that. And then secondly, after reviewing the situation, build your relationship with the Lord. Man, Steve, that's so elementary. But what I'm talking about is taking time and spending time in his presence. I'm not talking about coming to Jesus and experiencing salvation, though if that applies to you and that's what you need to do, then that's the first step that you need to take. But I'm talking about for you, if you're a follower of Jesus, that you build your relationship with the Lord. That right now, consistently, daily, routinely spending time with the Lord. Because if you don't do that, you won't have the strength to navigate the situation that could be bringing the discouragement or that is bringing the discouragement. The staff just read a book called The Insanity of God. I would encourage you to read the book. It's really a must read. I would put it on a must read list. And what the book is about, it's about a guy that was involved in, it's really his story, his testimony. He was involved in relief work in Somalia in the early 90s when the drought and the severe famine was going through Somalia, and there was civil unrest, and so there was a brutal civil war, and there was just horrendous things happening, and he was there, and he saw the devastation and the questions that he wrestled with during that season in his life, and then they left from there and began to pray, Lord, what would you have us to do? So anyway, the Lord led him to begin to go to places where the church was being persecuted. And so he writes about his trips to China and Russia and Eastern Bloc countries and to the Middle East. And in one of the portions of the book, he's writing about his interactions with Chinese believers. And there, for the house churches, the underground church there, it's expected that you'll spend some time of your life in prison as a follower of Jesus. And And so he was talking to them about that and how do they prepare for that and how do they navigate through that. And the statement was made that he wrote in the book, and I thought, you know what, that so fits to this thought of building our relationship with God. The Chinese believers said this: you can only grow in jail what you take to jail with you. You can only grow in persecution what you take into it. Meaning, you and I, that's preparatory stuff. Look, we don't know. We don't know what 20 years from now will look like in America. We don't know, not to be gloom and doom, but we don't know what's going to unfold in our lives. You don't know the trials that you're going to be facing in the coming years. Just personally, how are you going to navigate those trials? Because those trials will reveal what is here. Right? And so it's paramount, it's crucial that you and I are doing things to develop where we're at right now. God can do more for you than you can do for yourself. Spend time in his presence. Buddy Owen said this: when you fix your thoughts on God, God fixes your thoughts. Nehemiah encourages his people to go to God. Look at it, verse 14. And I looked and I rose and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. If you're struggling with discouragement, remember the Lord. What God has done, how he's walked with you, how he's blessed you, how he's brought you to this moment. How he believes in you. Number three, resume your work. How do you overcome discouragement? You got to resume your work. There's a place for resting. We've talked about that. Wholeheartedly, there's a place for that. But what happens when people get discouraged? The tendency is that people will withdraw and pull back, pull away, right? And I want to submit to you that if you do that too long, that's the worst thing that you can do. 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah is going through a very discouraging time and he withdraws. And one of the things that the Lord speaks to Elijah is that, Elijah, get up from this place and get busy. God sends him out because God knows that activity is good for us. What happens when we're discouraged and when we withdraw? What do we start thinking? We start thinking, we start hammering down on our situation and on all the discouraging aspects of where our life is at and how things aren't going for us, and we feel all alone, and you start comparing yourselves to others, and man, it just the clouds get darker and darker and more ominous, and you start licking your wounds. And if you're going to get over discouragement, you have to go forward. Verse 15, when our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and what God and that God frustrated them, we all returned to the work on the wall. But from then on, only half the men worked, while the others half stood guard with spear shields, bows, and coats of mail. Leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried on, on their work with one hand supporting their load and one hand holding a weapon. All the builders had a sword belted on their side. The trumpeters stayed with me to sound the alarm. They resumed their activity. I think that's so important for us. Yes, there's moments and times where we need to rest and pull away, but we can't stay there forever. If you're discouraged today, I want to encourage you to get involved, to get around those who are going to build you, who are going to support you, to cheer you on while you're stacking the brick, but also to make sure that your sword's sharp. The fourth cure is this: resist the tendency of isolation. It really goes hand in hand with the last thought. But verse 19, then I explained to the nobles and the officials and all the people, the work is very spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. When you hear the blast of the trumpet rush to wherever it is sounding, then our God will fight for us. We worked early and late, from sunrise to sunset. Half the men were always on guard. I also told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem. That way, they and their servants could help with guard duty at night and work during the day. In other words, he didn't allow people to go their separate ways. He didn't allow people to get alone and isolate themselves. If we're going to battle discouragement, you can't allow yourself to be isolated. You need to be around the right people. Find people, as we said earlier, who will strengthen you, encourage you, people who are going to develop you in the Lord, people who are going to inspire you and challenge you to grow in the Lord. I mean, you think about that in your life. Who are people that you look to and you're like, man, I just admire their faith. I admire how they step out and position themselves for the Lord to use them. You need to get around people like that. We need those people in our life. Maybe you can't be with them all the time, but let them speak into your life, develop you, inspire you, challenge you to grow. What causes discouragement? It's fatigue, it's loss of focus, it's fear, it's feeling sorry for ourselves, it's wrong friendships. How do you cure it? You review your situation, you build your relationship with the Lord, you resume the work, you get back in the game, and you resist the temptation to isolate yourself. Pastor Michael, if you'd come, the worship team, reminds me of a story, just that whole thought of isolation, of an individual who life happened to him. He was involved in a body of believers, and he began to start to miss. And the pastor went to visit him, sat down with him, and it was cold outside, so there was a fire, you know, burning in the fireplace, and they were talking and fellowshipping, and the pastor got the prong and reached in there into the fire and got a little coal and just threw the little coal out on the floor, separated it from the fire. He continued the conversation, continued going, you know, talking about stuff. Not so much about him not being at church every Sunday, but eventually it got back around to that. And that fire and that coal that got separated became a living illustration of what happens to us when we isolate ourselves. The fire goes out. The embers of the flame of the Spirit that is burning within each of us isn't allowed to wear off on us if we isolate ourselves. And as we do life and as we face discouragements, because they're going to happen, right? I mean, just look at your neighbor. Sorry, it's going to happen, right? Make sure we're not going alone. But go together. What's Scripture say? A cord of two strands? A cord of three strands? One's easily broken, though, right? But they grow stronger and stronger the more you weave together. Father God, as we come to the conclusion of this message this morning, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I don't know what life has brought each of us in this place the last week. Lord, I know some have had some overwhelming feelings, some feelings of discouragement this past week. And Lord, how appropriate and how timely to have a message like this. And God, it's just not given five causes and four cures and saying amen and leaving this place. But God, we really want the cure of discouragement to be embedded within our hearts and within our lives. So when it comes, excuse me, and it will, God, that we would navigate it wisely. God, for the one here this morning that just feels just overwhelmed with life and they feel a little bit downcast, God, I pray that they would find just a holy moment, a restful moment in this place before we leave this place. God, that they would take some deep breaths and be reminded that you have this, that you're with them. But also, God, that they would make sure that they are placing believers around them. Maybe they would grab a few people this morning and say, hey, just would you pray for me right now? And just be vulnerable and let some folks into their life. Lord, I thank you for your grace. For anyone here that needs to come to faith in Christ, they need a new beginning in life. I pray, Lord, that they would take that step. And Lord, they would ask you to be their Lord and Savior, to forgive you of their sins and to be the Lord and Savior of their life. They'd make that confession of faith. In Jesus' name. Church, would you stand with me? And as we move to the close of this service and sing this song as a benediction, if you need prayer, I love the privilege of praying for you. I'll just be standing up here and would encourage you. And if you feel isolated, don't leave this place by yourself. Don't leave this place feeling alone. Make sure others have the opportunity to come around you and pray and walk with you. Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.